Zeph in Blacksburg here with another interview, and today I'm joined by Judy Hoberman. Now, Judy is not only a very good friend of mine, but she's also president of Selling in a Skirt and has created a suite of workshops, seminars, and coaching programs that take the negativity out of selling. Her 30 years in sales has given her both the knowledge and sense of humor about the gender differences that we should all understand and embrace instead of feeling unable to communicate. Judy's humorous stories about how men and women sell, manage, recruit, and supervise differently will enlighten you in learning how both genders can support each other's successes in a more productive way. Judy is the author of Selling in a Skirt, Famous Isn't Enough, and Pure Wealth, business books for professional women, sales executives, and entrepreneurs. She's the host of a weekly radio show on Tough Talk Radio called Selling in a Skirt and is also featured as the gender expert on Fox News Radio. And today, she joins us to talk about networking and building relationships. And she wouldn't be here today unless I had networked and built a relationship with her. So thank you so much for being here.
Thanks for having me. Of course, we have this great relationship, and that's how it all works from that beginning.
Absolutely. So I am very fortunate enough that I was in a coaching group with you when I first got my business off the ground. So I probably wouldn't be here had that not happened. And I'm also very fortunate that I will get to see you next week after this recording. So I'm excited for that. You are freaking awesome at networking. And I say this because I think every time we talk, and even before this call, you were like, do you know this person? Do you know that person? Have you ever heard of this person? And I just feel like you know everybody, which is such a good thing because that kind of, that helps you grow, that helps you get to where you want to be. So let's just give everyone a little bit of a background of, you know, what is Selling in a Skirt and what have you been up to over the last year or two?
Okay, so when you say that about networking, that I will tell you about that in a moment, but Selling in a Skirt really came out of my entire life. I've always worked with men, always, always, always. I've always been in construction and insurance and you name it. It was male dominated. And I had to come up with my own way of being successful because according to the way that society treats women in male dominated industries, it's basically like, oh, you're cute, you got the job. And, you know, my father always used to enroll me in beauty contests because he thought I was pretty, but he thought there was nothing else to me. And so, you know, I have to always try to prove myself that I actually am intelligent. My husband thinks I am the most intelligent person, but that's another whole story. But anyway, so I came through the ranks of building my own playbook. And after I was in insurance for about 25 years, I decided I needed to get out there and do something to help other women. And so I decided to start teaching and training and coaching and mentoring and letting them know that it's okay to be feminine and be successful. On the flip side, there's also men that don't know how to speak to women the right way to empower and encourage them to be successful. So I talk to a lot of men, and inevitably they'll say to me, oh my God, now I know how to talk to my wife. So it's like win-win.
Yeah, but I feel like that's probably one of those like men are from Mars, women are from Venus type things, right?
Absolutely, because we speak differently, we hear differently, we sell, we buy, everything is different. And yet, if we take those differences and make them into an asset instead of a liability, it is absolutely amazing. But, you know, go back to what you just said, that I know everybody. When I started Selling in a Skirt, I did not know one person, not one, outside of the company that I resigned from. And so I started going to every single networking event you could possibly think of. I knew not a person. And after 6 months, people would say, do you know Judy Hoberman? She knows everybody. Because really all I did was I tried to let people know what I was doing, but I really was trying to see what I can do to help them. And when you give without any expectation of receiving, it's a whole different ballgame. It's not, you know, okay, what can you do for me lately? It's not, it doesn't work like that. So for me, I like to give, I'll get back what I'm supposed to. And if I don't, okay.
It makes perfect sense. I mean, I've gone to tons of networking events. That's a lot of how I got my business off the ground when I first started. One of the problems just with my location is that it's a lot of insurance agents. So I show up and everybody wants to sell me insurance. And I'm like, I already have business insurance and car insurance and all this stuff. I don't need it. But right. So I guess it's part of it is finding like the right group to go to. But also, you know, when I first started, I found myself being that guy who pulled the strategy of I just stand in the middle of the room and look as lost as possible until people start coming up and talking to me. Because I don't know how to go up to somebody and, you know, introduce myself. Because oftentimes when I do, I just say, what do you do for a living? And I'm guessing that's probably not the best way to even start a conversation with somebody.
Well, you know, it is and it isn't. One of the things that's very interesting to me is that the most outgoing people are the most shy when it comes to networking, because you're very outgoing. But I'm the same way. I didn't like walking into a room of people that I didn't know, because how do you start that conversation? What do you do for a living? What do you do? You know, how do? So what I started telling people is show up early. When you're the first person there, people walk up to you naturally. And then all of a sudden, you're not the person looking sad, looking lost in the middle of the room. But I always ask a question like, why do you come to this networking event? It's very different than what do you do for a living? Because then they'll say to you, well, I'm an insurance agent and so on and so forth. Or I am a, you know, computer geek and blah, blah, blah. So for me, networking, you have to do it with intention. And there's actually two different ways of being intentional. First is going to a networking event where your target is. So for you to go to a networking event that they're all insurance people may not be the right strategy, because you don't need insurance. Okay, but they might be part of your target market, because a lot of insurance agents want to do a video or they want to get known. Okay, so you target your target audience. But more importantly, you want to network where your strategic partners are. So who's actually in your space that complement you, that doesn't compete with you? So for me, like, let's say I was a realtor, I would want to go someplace where mortgage people are, title people are, or movers, you know, anything that complements me, that I can strategically refer people to them, that they can for me as well. So it's all about intention.
That makes perfect sense. I mean, even I as a video person would probably benefit from talking to realtors more than I would insurance agents, because they do photos and videos of houses all the time to sell them.
Exactly.
So that makes perfect sense. So I think we probably need to go into these networking events looking more for the right people to talk to. And I mean, the only way to figure that out is probably to go to some at first, just to get a feel for it, because, you know, the local chamber of commerce ones are those ones where the insurance agents were. So, you know, it sounds to me like, you know, maybe we're just really heavy in that area of insurance agents, and that's not the best one to go to. But one of the things that even I recommend to people is, when I first started, I made a Facebook group called Maryland Videographers Connection. And all I did was add three or four of my friends that lived in the state and that did video. It now, 9 to 12 months later, has, I think, like 220 people in it. You know, so it can be as simple as just a Facebook group or a meetup.com group. So it's really cool when you don't find the networking group that works for you, just make your own.
And that's the beauty of social media, is that you can do that. You can do that. Or even if you form a group and you never actually meet in person, you know, that's the way, because you're asking for people to help you. But that all starts with a relationship. Like, if I met you for the first time, I'm not sure if I would absolutely positively open up my mental Rolodex, because I don't know you yet. But once we got to know each other and we had a relationship, it's very different, because now whoever I know, they're yours. And that's the beauty of building a relationship. You start and you know, it's like when you go to a networking event and there is a realtor. Are you there to buy a house or sell a house? Probably not. And yet people say, hey, you know, are you going to sell your house? That's not what you do. You want to get to know the person. And that's the beauty of a relationship. Because 6 months from now, 10 months from now, 2 years from now, you might be selling a house. And you remember that this person was so kind to you and, you know, carried you along the way. It's all about relationships. Yeah. I have people that call me 2 years later and say, I remember seeing you at such and such an event, and I'll never forget what you said to me. So do you know this, or can I help you with that, or what can I do for you now? That's all it is.
So you brought up two really good points here. The one was that, you know, them remembering you and being memorable. And then the other one I was thinking of is, what should we do preparing going into these events? I mean, obviously you want to have business cards. I've seen some people show up without business cards and I'm like, hello. So, you know, what would you say are the action steps we should take just before even going to these events?
Well, that would be the first and foremost, is to have business cards, because I can't believe when people go to an event and don't have cards. But you also want to have a goal in mind. You want to decide, what is the goal of the day? So for me, my goal is to meet three people, not 100, not 50, not three people. You can meet three people anywhere, but it's three people that you want to have a relationship with. And so when I walk into a room, I decide who it is that I'm going to meet, and I tell them, you know, Zeph and I was looking to meet three amazing people today, and you're one of them. Well, that changes the whole dynamics of the conversation.
Yeah.
So you have a goal in mind. Follow up. You have to follow up. If I said to you, by tonight, I'm going to send you a white paper on such and such, I better do that. Because if I can't even do something that little, why would you do business with me?
Makes sense.
You know, so you have to do things like that. Also, you have to know three people that are the most important three, not the ones that you're going to meet. You have to know who the speaker is, who the organizer is, and who's at the reception desk or the registration desk. Because between the three of them, they know everyone. Mm-hmm. So if you came back from an event and you said, you know, there was this really cool woman that I wanted to meet, and she was wearing a pink dress, and she was sitting on the left. Do you know who she is? Because someone will know her. So three is the big number for me. Three people to meet and three people to know. But again, my biggest thing is showing up early and let people walk over to you.
Right.
But you want to make sure that you're interested, not interesting. And that's a big difference also.
Yeah. So I guess along that same lines, you know, you have to be interested in what is going on for them. But how do you make the experience memorable? Like, how do I become that guy where they're like, oh yeah, he was wearing that, you know, black coat or whatever, you know, and they remember me that well that, you know, they want to come back and find out more about me.
Because you're going to ask questions about them, not about you. You're going to say, you know, why do you come to this event? What other events do you go to? How did you start your business? What got you into your business? Because when they talk about themselves, they remember that you were interested enough to find out about them. Now, of course, you probably should have a business card because they'll ask you for one. But if you don't, they're going to remember he was so interesting and he asked me all these questions and he really wanted to get to know me.
That's kind of like being on a date, right?
Absolutely. Because you want to be on that first date so somebody asks for a second.
Yeah. So I guess you should really approach it as, you know, this is my first date with every single person you talk to there and see how it goes. I'd also add that I'm sure having a good business card helps. You know, like I just got a new one for our podcast here. And I've had some crappy business cards over the years, mm-hmm. and that's because I've, you know, seen the special deals of, you know, $20 or whatever, and you get 1,000 business cards. But I wanted to just talk a little bit about the value of having this is an ultra thick business card, so it's like mm-hmm. thicker
stands
than a
out.
Credit card, and it really
right.
stands out. You know, it's kind of like a piece of cardboard. So I just thought I'd mention, you know, the value of having something that stands out is also a way to make yourself memorable. I've got this bright orange color, blue on the back. It's really nice. It matches our color back there. But but yeah, so, you know, it's little things like that. I also, you know, I'm getting ready to go to a podcast conference, as you know, and one of the things I did was you hooked me up through your network with somebody who custom prints logos and things on different marketing materials, and I got these really cool earbud wrapper things because everyone throws their earbuds in their bag and they get tangled
right.
up, and I printed my website on them, and these are great, like, giveaways. That only cost me, like, $1 each. You know, and if I'm going to a conference that is expecting 1,000 people and I have 150 of these, if I somehow manage to run out of all of those, then I did a really good job.
Absolutely. And let's go back to your business cards for a minute. You know, a lot of people say you want the high gloss and everything else on both sides. Don't do it on both sides because you want to be able to write something on the back, like mm-hmm. something that it's memorable. The other thing that I always do is when I meet somebody that I absolutely positively want to, you know, follow up with and continue, I fold down the corner of their card when I put it in my pocket because when I pull it out, I'm like, oh yeah, definitely. And I did this at a conference probably 200 young women. And I said to them, when you go to your first networking event, fold down the corner of the people you want to meet because you want to continue that conversation. So when they each gave me their business cards, everyone was folded down. So they definitely listened because they got the meaning of it. So, you know, that's just a really good way to make sure you remember those special people that you really want to continue the conversation with.
That makes a lot of sense. I mean, I definitely get cards from people at events where I'm like, I know that conversation was going nowhere, that it didn't serve me anymore. So I'm curious to ask you, you know, do you have any sort of exit strategy of if you get stuck talking to someone for way too, you know, the talker, there's always
yes.
one guy who's willing to talk for the remainder of the entire event, and you've got to find a way to get out of it because they have nothing to do with what you do.
Well, you know, you can look around the room and you could say, oh my God, I know there was somebody that I had to meet, so it was great talking to you, and just exit. Or you can find somebody that you know and say, hey, have you met Zephin yet? And, you know, move them along. Or you just say, you know, I really appreciate the conversation. You know, I just want to make sure that I get to meet as many people as possible. And I know you want to do the same. You have to be kind, you know, because you never know who that person knows, you know. And that's the other thing about networking. It's not just the people in the room. It's the people that they know.
Right.
So, you know, you talk to somebody that's kind of interesting, but maybe not really, but you never know that his wife might be the CEO of something, or her husband might be the president of something. And, you know, and it leads to speaking gigs, or it leads to another networking event, or it leads to a job, a gig, whatever. So you have to be kind. You can't roll your eyes every time you don't like somebody. And I know it's much easier to like all the time, but you can't.
Yeah, I mean, I'm in a mastermind group right now, and one of the things that we do is when we first sit down, we go around in a circle, and it's just four of us, but we talk about what our biggest problems are, and they always make fun of me because I always say, I'm good. And the problem was, I was ignoring the fact that while the people directly in front of me might not have expertise in my area, which made me think that they couldn't help me, I forgot the vast majority of people they're connected to all know things about what I do. So that was one of the things where I know myself, like I was losing out by not asking people for help. And that's one of the biggest things I found is that, you know, people do want to help you when you go to a networking event. And when you ask them for help, you'd be surprised how much it delivers.
Yeah, and that's a really good point. You have to, when somebody asks you, you have to be able to identify it so they understand it, not in your language, in their language. So, you know, I know somebody, and every time I say to her, so what are you looking for? She'll give me a 5-minute dissertation and I have no idea what she's talking about. And I keep saying to her, no, you really have to, you know, make it, first of all, a sentence of who it is. What do they look like? What is it that you're missing? And make it so succinct that I can see that person. Like when you say to me, I need somebody in, you know, in IT, or I need somebody in health and wellness, or I need somebody in blah, 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 I can see that person because you're telling me exactly what you need. Somebody is going to ask you, what can I do for you? And if you say, oh, I don't know, and then nothing really, you're missing it. You're missing it. But when you do give them something that they can really, you know, grab onto and say, oh my goodness, I know that person. Wow. I can't believe you don't know them. That's how it works.
Yeah. And it's funny that you bring that up because it makes me think about, you know, asking for their elevator pitch. And there has been one time where I have actually asked someone in an elevator for their elevator pitch. I was leaving a networking event. There was a guy who, you know, I had seen a couple times as I was making my rounds there. And I was actually more working the event. I was taking photos for them. So I didn't really have a chance to talk to as many people. But I had seen him, you know, I had seen him interacting with people. He had kind of seen me, but I never got to say anything. And as I'm leaving the event, I step into the elevator. And sure enough, he's the only other person to walk in. And I sat there for like the half a second of the door closing. And I was like, you know, I don't have to talk to him. I'm leaving. And then something came over me and I turned to him. And I was like, so what's your elevator pitch? And he laughed hysterically because, first of all, we were in an elevator. But he literally told me his pitch of who he is and what he does before the elevator made it down all of two flights of stairs. So and the funny thing is about a week or two later, he called me up and he's now one of my clients. And we have an amazing Kickstarter video for him online that's helping to get his tech startup off the ground. You know, so elevator pitches, being able to explain within 30 seconds what you do and who you are. The fact that he was able to tell me and I was able to tell him all in that time span of the elevator moving down two floors, it's crucial.
Right. And the purpose of an elevator pitch truly is for the other person to say, wow, tell me more. Or how do you do that? Because that's what it is. That's the beginning. That's the icebreaker. And it's going to lead to some amazing conversations if you do it right.
Yeah, I was going to say if you do it right, because like I have how a lot of my stuff has been, whether it was job interviews in the past when I didn't work for myself or networking events, you know, everyone always gives you that, oh, well, we're interviewing a few more candidates, or, oh, like we're looking at a couple more people. A, they're not. And right. B, as long as you did a good enough job, they're going to call you within like 24 hours and be like, yeah, you are our best candidate. And then later on, you'll find out that like there was nobody else.
Right.
But, so
or
I
that they
that
hire
happens.
Everybody.
Yeah, right. So I love when that happens. And I think that comes from, being efficient, being to the point, really being confident. Like that was a problem up front, originally when I started, just being confident and talking to these people because I didn't have as many names to drop as far as brands and companies I'd worked for. And now I do have a lot of good names. But that confidence up front allowed me to get to, now I've done work with House of Cards on Netflix. I just did a video with Uber out in Arizona last week, some major companies. And being able to use that to your advantage is huge when it comes to networking. I'm sure, you've been in scenarios where you bring up the ABC, CBS, you've been featured on Good Morning Texas and that you have your radio show. How do you start to build towards that so that, you can use those credibility pieces?
Well, it's really interesting, Zephan, because you have to be open to opportunities. And I think that's what most of us are not. We think if it's not in our wheelhouse right now, it's never going to be. And I was actually asked to be on someone's radio show. And it was 10-minute spot. And 10 minutes is a long time on radio. If you think about, how that actually, goes into dollars and cents, it's a big deal. And so I'm on the radio listening to the guest before me, and she had 10 minutes, but she was busy talking about something that was happening in the fashion world, and everybody was so amazed about it that when I went on, I had 90 seconds. Okay. And so I didn't say anything. What am I going to say? I'm a guest. So I did my thing in 90 seconds, and the producer called me and said, "You said more in 90 seconds than people say in 90 minutes. Would you come back?"
Wow.
I'm like, "Okay, sure." So I came back and I did my 10 minutes, and then he called again and he said, "You need to have your own show." And that's how it actually started. I had no intention of ever doing radio because I thought, I'm on Fox Business News a lot. I'm like, it's, 6 minutes here, 10 minutes there. It's awesome. So I started doing radio, my own show, probably about 3.5 years ago. And, I've changed stations, changed platforms and everything. And it's a really good outlet, a good platform to get my message out. And it's building relationships. There are people that I had no idea are listening to my radio show. And we just recently moved to a new platform. I'm on Women for Women Network now, which is very focused on what I do. And so, there's more women that are listening, and there are people that have asked me if they could be a guest. I had no idea that that many people wanted to be a guest on my show. I mean, I had like 40 people, as soon as I said I'm moving, about 40 people that said, "Can I be on your show?" Men
Wow.
and women. So, it's all about the where you start, the relationships that you build. You have no idea what happens, but it's the opportunity that you have to raise your hand and say, "Okay, I'm in." Instead of saying, "Yeah, that's not what I want to do."
I'm in the same boat, literally and figuratively. And I always give this example of rowing. When somebody originally introduced me to rowing, I was like, I would never see myself doing that. Like, I've never been in one of those boats. I would, I was just like, no, just not happening, right? And I'm the same way about skydiving, and I still don't think that's going to happen.
Yeah, I
But
know.
I originally tried rowing, and I just fell in love with it. And it's been one of my most favorite things to do. And so, just to give you that example, if you're closed off, you're going to miss out on what could be a great opportunity. Within 2 years, I started racing competitively. I started training with Ivy League coaches that had sent people to the Olympics. These are things that don't happen unless you take that chance and be that yes man, as Jim Carrey would say.
Right. And it's interesting for me. I have a PR person that I work with. And so when the election came about, this last presidential election, he kept saying, "You have to get into it. You have to get into it. We'll get you on Fox News and blah, blah, blah." I'm like, "I don't want to do it. I really don't want to do it. I don't want to, I have clients that are Democrats. I have clients that are Republicans. I can't have that and eliminate people. And I really don't want to do that anyway. That's not me. I don't like doing that." And he said, "You're missing the boat, missing the boat." Finally, he said to me, "What's the big deal? Why don't you just talk about what you always talk about? Talk about relationships, because each candidate has to build a relationship with women, because that's the big thing." So I said, "Okay, fine." And I went on, and guess who picked it up? CNN headlines. So had I said no one more time, or he didn't say, one more time, ask me, it wouldn't have happened. So it's always those kind of things that, like with you, who would have thought you wanted to do rowing? And now look where you are. It's all about being open and saying, "Yeah, okay, I'll give it a shot."
Yeah. So let me ask you this. The follow-up is important. You've built a couple of introductory relationships with people. How do you sustain these over time and make sure that you're keeping in touch and following these people? Because obviously you meet a ton of people. Like I have trouble keeping track of my brothers. You know, I have seven brothers and one sister, and I have trouble just keeping track of the eight of them. How do I keep track of, you know, the tons of people that I see all the time?
Well, it's interesting because I always tell people you have to have some kind of CRM system. You know, it could be as simple as MailChimp or it could be as advanced as Infusionsoft. It doesn't matter. Have something where you can send something out on a regular basis. It could be once a month, it could be once a week, whatever you choose. However, there are also certain people that come out of that whole big group. There are certain, people that you say, well, I really want to keep in contact with him or her on a regular basis. And so what I always tell people, it's a drip campaign. That's all it is. You can't keep asking people about business. You cannot do that because people will see you coming and they'll be like, oh my God, here he is again. So what I always do is I have like a library of articles. All kinds of articles. And so if I know that you're really into rowing, I have something on rowing. And I might just shoot you an article and say, hey, Zeffen, I saw this article, thought of you, have a great day. Done. I say nothing else. And then you're reading going, she didn't even ask me about business. That's pretty awesome. Okay. Now my name is in front of you again, but I haven't even talked about business. The next time I might, or 2 times after I might, but I'm always in front of you. And that's really all you want to do is do something on a regular basis. On social media, you have to be consistent. You can't post once in a blue moon because a lot of your people don't see everything that's posted. So you have to be consistent. I get more people saying to me, because I post every day, they say, how did you know I needed that today? I didn't know you needed it, but I knew I needed it. And
Right.
so when I posted it, it was about how I was feeling that day. And I happen to know that there's a lot of people that also feel like that. So it's all about being consistent. That's all it is. It's just that you can't keep asking for business. You have to be a person as well.
That makes sense. I mean, bring it down to a very realistic level at the end of the day, where people who have families and have relationships with others, and it's not always about the business all the
No.
time. And so making them feel more human is probably one of the best ways to, you know, encourage somebody to want to help you, I guess.
But you also are remembering what was important to them. Because you told me that rowing was important to you. So I have that down on my little notepad here saying, okay, so he likes rowing, but he also likes, IT, and he also likes all these new things that are coming up, and he also likes these cool things. I know enough about you that I can shoot you articles. Or you say to me, I really have to change my insurance. Well, I have articles about that as well. I have all kinds of articles. So it's, and if I can't find one, I search for it. I mean, cousin Google has everything you could possibly want in your entire life.
Oh, yeah.
So I just make sure that I can stay in contact with you, and it's not always about business.
And I think it might have been you who introduced me to this really cool tool for Gmail that allows you to schedule out emails so it doesn't look like you're doing this at 2 o'clock in the morning. So if you want to share just real quick, because this is a tool that I use all the time, and this has been huge for me because, you know, as an entrepreneur and working for yourself, you know, there are times where we are working within that 9 to 5 space. A lot of the times I'm doing work at 11 o'clock at night because I'm just more productive then. But I want the ability to send somebody an email at 7:45 in the morning and make it look like I got up at 6 o'clock. So you have a really cool tool for that that you showed me, and I use it all the time. So if you just want to share with everyone.
Yeah, the problem is that I actually don't do that anymore, and I'll tell you why I don't, because I actually like people to know that no matter what, I'm around. So, I have so many different tools. Which one? I mean, which one was it?
We were
The
using Boomerang.
Boomerang, that's what it was. Yeah. And it's very cool. It is, because you can actually decide that, okay, I want to do all of this, but I want it to go out during regular work hours. As an entrepreneur, we don't have regular work hours. So when somebody sends me an email and I want to respond because I can't sleep at 2 o'clock in the morning, and then they look and say, wow, she's pretty awesome. But I also have, boundaries. I also have boundaries. I mean, my phone is turned off after a certain time. I don't answer my phone. I don't care because I need to have some time to myself. But emails and, things like that. Somebody asked recently about texting, how you can schedule texting, and I don't know if that's available.
I'm sure it's got to be, but you probably have to pay for some sort of a software for that. But I think the key here is that there are definitely ways to make it appear as you're staying on top of things much better than you really. I mean, in a sense, you are staying on top of things by setting this up. But there are a lot of tools out there that allow you to do things like keeping track of people without having to, you know, store it all up here all the time.
Right, Right. And then also, you know, like as far as social media, you know, you can always use like a Hootsuite or something like that where they can, you know, you can schedule everything. I use technology, but you know as well as I do, I am not the tech queen. You know, I am more the manual person, the paper person. So when I find an app that works, like I use Maelstrom that actually goes through my mail and sorts it out for me, my emails. And every day I get something that says, you just saved an hour. You just saved 2 hours because they do it for me. I'm like, it is very cool.
Wow.
So, yeah. So, you know, it's things like that. And then, of course, tomorrow there'll be a new one. So I don't know.
Yeah. Cool. Well, I know that you have a couple of resources online that, you know, everyone should be checking out. Maybe share a little bit about how people can find your radio show and things like that.
Okay, so first of all, my website is sellinginaskirt.com, and everything's on my website. And I have a new, like I said, a new radio show, and it's on Women for Women Radio. So let me tell you my newest. Okay, so it's women. It's w4wn.com/sellinginaskirt. Okay, just go to W4WN. And so it's Women for Women Network. I'm on social media at Selling in a Skirt, on Judy Hoberman. I'm everywhere. And it's usually just look for Selling in a Skirt, and that's what you're going to find, because I try to keep the brand going all the time. It makes it easy.
Sounds good. And do you have any resources like an ebook or a PDF download?
I do. I actually have this really cool ebook, and it's called Skirting the Issues, and it's all about ways to communicate, men and women communicating. And it's like seven great tools or strategies or whatever. So if you go to sellinginaskirt.com/special-offer, you can download it for free. I actually had written it and put it on my website and forgot all about it, never marketed it, nothing. And I couldn't understand why nobody wanted this book, because I never marketed it. And then I thought, you know what? I'm just giving it away. So it's sellinginaskirt.com/special-offer.
And I want to make it clear that this is probably very useful to men and women alike, because the truth is the communication thing goes both ways.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I have a lot of male clients that say to me, help me bring more women into my business. I'm not sure what's going on. And it's just a communication. We speak differently. You speak in bullet points. I speak in stories. And so if you let me speak and I let you do what you need to do in your bullet points, we're going to be awesome.
Awesome. Well, it's been great speaking with you today. And I'm pretty excited because I get to see you next week. So
yeah, I'm excited.
I will be talking to you very soon.
Sounds good. Thank you so much for asking me to be on this.
All right. Catch you later.
Okay. Thanks.